You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos, and welcome to the Midway Point of Your Work Week. We'll welcome you officially here in a minute. Jam-packed first hour. Seth Thibodeau standing by on the on-deck circle. Pepito, see what I just did there? It's a baseball reference. It's Colonels getting a big win over the Bulldogs. We'll speak with him before he boards a plane. Head on over to Arizona, where they will take on the Wildcats over the weekend. LSU didn't win. Should they be concerned? Tulane falls at Southeastern. We'll touch on that. The Saints have signed a player in free agency. We'll get to that. Pels in Portland. Heartbreak loss for New Orleans. And a champ will be in the house, Pepito, next segment. Now, welcome to the Midway Point of Your Work Week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Today's more about that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. Shot Gene Digital Underground, the Camel. And head coach Sean Payton. How nice was it yesterday to actually hear from Sean Payton? You miss when time goes by, Jason, and you don't actually hear Sean Payton talk a little football, give a little what's your question
thing. We got a good bit of it yesterday, which was nice.
Words of wisdom from Shock G. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to follow us over on Twitter. The TuneIn Radio app is absolutely free. It's the way to listen to the show and the station when you're not in your car or by a radio. Your phone, or you can plug it into your car in case the reception is, you know, where you can't get it the way you'd like it to be. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be at Walk-Ons in Covington, Pepito. Looking forward to that as well. We will have a pair, not one, but two pairs of SmackDown tickets. Real easy. We'll have a registration sheet right on the table. So when you walk in, look for the broadcast location. Boom. All you got to do is write your name and number. And if you win, we'll draw it throughout the show. You don't have to be there if you can't stay for 3 hours. Obviously, you're there for lunch. And we'll call you and we'll leave the tickets at the reception desk. Next Tuesday over here in the Metairie Studios, right across the street over in Clearview, the Walk-Ons in Metairie. We'll have SmackDown tickets, access tickets as well, but also that is where we will pull the two winners for WrestleMania. Two pair of WrestleMania tickets.
Premium
to two separate
seats,
yes,
by the way.
$400+ on the floor, we can confirm. Four seats for WrestleMania. So super excited to give that away. Again, as we said, coming up next segment, Regis Progre, the interim light welterweight champion, is going to be in studio. We'll talk with Dino Hansen in hour number two. And we'll have fun, especially in hour three, as today is a day of remembrance. Jason, the date.
Oh, a day of celebration,
yes.
Too.
Remembrance and celebration. Yeah. What is today's date?
Well, it's 328. Look at that.
328. What was that, by the way?
Significance.
The score.
Yeah.
By which the Falcons led your New England Patriots in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. A day that always keeps on giving. People are remembering left and right with GIFs, with pictures, with videos. Feel free to have fun with that. Seth Thibodeau at the airport, I believe in Nashville, joins us, Coach. Try to get to you before you get on a plane over to Arizona. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing really good. About to get on a plane and head west.
That's right. Well, let's quickly talk about the 7-4 win yesterday. It's been a long, long time, actually, never. 54-year time span since Nichols had defeated Mississippi State. How big was that win yesterday, man?
It was a very nice win. Our guys played well. We really weren't focusing a whole lot on anything else but what we were trying to get better at. And we're trying to become the team that we set out to be from the beginning. We've got some guys getting healthy. So it was a great win. It was a great win at home. But our guys expected to win last night, and they were hungry. Mm-hmm. And, we played those guys a month ago, and they got the better of us out at a tournament in Corpus Christi, and we're a totally different team now, and so were they, and I can tell by the way our guys were playing that they weren't going to be denied last night. They were hungry for a win at home.
It was nice to get a couple of RBIs from some seniors, and really seniors kind of led the way in the win, huh?
Oh, absolutely. It was really good to see. Kyle North had a big double for us, and when we were up 2-0, Kyle delivered a big double for us and got it to 4-0. And then Gage Tier drove in a run late, you know, on a sack fly. And, the icing in the cake, basically the nail in the coffin in the bottom of the eighth inning when we were up by one. Lee Clark, senior left fielder, hit a two-run homer and drove in Kyle North, you know, mm-hmm. along with that homer. And put it in the 7-4, and you could just tell, you know, at that point in time that the game was going to be over and the Colonels were going to be good. Senior left-handed pitcher Jared Scott closed it out for us in the bottom of the ninth. So a really nice win against the historic program at our place. And our guys, you know, I was happy for Nichols. I'm happy for our guys. But it's on to the next. You know, the next bowl is tomorrow, and we got our hands full. So we'll be ready to go then as well.
How big was that eighth inning? They score 4. Got probably a little nerve-wracking in around, but to be able to come back and answer with 2 in the bottom of that frame, how to make you feel good as a staff?
Yeah, it was good. You know, we've been in some tight battles all year long and growing as a team and growing together. And, you know, we haven't really had any breathing room with our schedule. It's been, you know, power after power after power. You know, it's really good, really tough schedule, and but it's made us better. It's made us tough. You know, we played some phenomenal defense last night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got a couple walks, which you can't do against an SEC team. I don't care if they're in 14th place or first place. You know, they got a couple walks and, you know, let one bleed in there. I got one off the hands just over our shortstop, and next thing you know, they're in business. And we gave up a double on a 1-2 pitch that we'd like to have back, and but they're going to make you pay for it when they have a chance, and they did. And so it's 5-4 with the tying run at second base. And, Jared was able to pitch us out of that. Come back in, we get the leadoff guy on, which we did a lot last night, which was good for our offense. And bunt him over, and Lee Clark delivers a towering homer to right field. So it was good to see us. You know, we weathered the storm, and we're able to come back and respond right away. And that's been something we've been talking about as a club all year, is just respond. Respond the right way, no matter how, no matter when. Just make sure you respond. So it was good. It was a good response for us.
9-15 on the season. As you mentioned, you got a pretty big series here on the road at Arizona. Tough place to go out there and win and play. Then you got LSU right after that to start the next weekend, and conference games really start to start adding up. I guess you're hoping wins like last night and maybe the experience over this next 3 days too, kind of really kind of kickstart you into April here.
Oh, for sure. You know, again, I think our team's got a streak in it, and I think our team's still becoming what they can be, and I'm excited about it. I think we can really defend. I think we've got some guys that bullpen that can really throw it, and I think we got some starters. So, you know, and some of our better hitters haven't even really gotten going yet. And so mm-hmm. I'm very optimistic about things. I think that going out to Arizona, it's a bye week in a conference. It's always hard to find, you know, a conference opponent this late, a non-conference opponent on a weekend this late in the season, and you're really hoping for a, you know, someone can stand out for you. And Arizona and Dallas Baptist were our two choices, so it's really tough to schedule this time. But for us to be able to fly out west, you know, we've been to Dallas before. Let's go out to the western side of the United States, go down to Arizona and play some baseball there, and see what it's all about, you know, and get a great experience for our players, and then come back and you know, and be ready to go again next week. We've got LSU on Tuesday, Pine Bluff right. on Wednesday, and then we have Sam Houston. So the schedule really doesn't get any easier. But, I mean, I just think that's college baseball. And I just think everybody's good, and it just depends on what time of the year you get them and who's healthy and who's not. And so, but I do like where we're at right now. And where right. you know, we've won 3 out of 4 and probably should have done a little better than that. Like I told our guys after the win last night, I was like, you know, I could tell our guys expected to win, and I was really proud of that more than anything. But it's like, guys, we can sit here and celebrate, but I just think a mature team's ready to go. So, and you know, the next day, but and they were ready to go. So that was a good sign for us, you know, halfway through the season.
Well, Coach, as much as I travel, I know what that tone and that beep in the background is. That is you boarding, and I just hope you're not that same group. Go get on that plane and go bring us a couple of wins. Wanted to get
next
you though.
And,
absolutely. Wanted to talk to you though before you got on, because it was a nice win yesterday. Thank you, Coach.
Thank you for having us on. We really appreciate it. Go Colonel.
Yep, for sure. Seth Thibodeau, follow Colonels Baseball on Twitter at Nichols_base. BASE. Pepito, when you hear the boom, that is that's people boarding over on Southwest. I know that all too well. I got a little goosebumpy as the Rougarou walked in there during the segment. You saw the belt, Pepito. The belt. We're going to go to WrestleMania here. We know all about belts with wrestling, but that's a legit boxing belt right there, my friend.
Yeah, legit title coming in from a legit title holder.
Well, I mean, I know you're used to having a champion next to you every day to your left.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, two-time intramural back-to-back champion at Southern Miss.
That doesn't register with me. I don't know what that means.
Can't take it away from me. I'm a champion two-time back-to-back.
Yeah, I don't recognize that. Sorry.
You can fail to recognize it all you want. I am a champion, and we'll speak to a real champion up next. Regis Progray, the Rougarou. We'll chat with him coming up on ESPN New Orleans. Hour number one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. 909-KING, KingInjuryFirm.com is the way to follow. And, of course, if you've been injured in a personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp, or maybe gotten a left hand from the Rougarou. I don't know if they can represent you or not. What's up, Regis? How you doing?
I'm good, man. Real good. I'm in New Orleans for, you know, a couple of days, so, mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad I'm on.
Regis Progray, you are, let's see if I can get this right, the interim light welterweight champion. We hope to eventually just be the overall.
A little different, okay. WBC super lightweight interim.
There we
champion.
Go. Okay, I was making sure I had it all right, because it was a little different when it was a little interim. Belden, okay, then you won March 9th in your mm-hmm. fight, which lasted all of two rounds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now
yeah.
you have the WBC title in front of you.
Yes.
I like that belt. Yeah, how many flags are actually on there? There's a lot of flags on the nation.
I think
huh?
it's every country in the world.
Wow, that's awesome.
So. Yeah.
And the pictures and the faces on the belt, those are former champs, past champs?
Well,
is that what that is?
I mean, one, this is Jose Suleiman.
Okay.
He's dead now. His son took over. He was the president. He started everything, WBC.
Okay.
You have Costazu. He was a great champion at my weight, 140.
Mm-hmm.
That's, of course, that's me. You have Muhammad Ali, uh-huh. of course, the greatest. Julio Cesar Chavez, and this is Julio Ondongo. That's who I fought.
Okay, got you. So what's the significance with having those? Do you get to choose who goes on that belt, or is that how the belt
no,
came?
No, the belt comes. Of course, all Julio Cesar Chavez right. and Jose Suleiman, Muhammad Ali, they always stay. And then whoever fought for the belt, that'll be the last piece on it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't realize that kind of significance for it. Well, man, great you're here. I was talking to someone in your camp there, and I was like, I know we talked recently, and I thought it was recently. It was about a year ago.
Yeah.
That we last chatted. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I loved it, man, the nickname Rougarou, McDonough 35. You started in football. You realized boxing, in case the folks don't know the story. And then Katrina mm-hmm. went, and you're like, hey, you want to get into boxing? You went to Houston, which is where you train
yep.
and
mm-hmm.
live there. But, dude, you're all about Noli. Got a couple of tats that have to represent us as well.
I got buku tats. I got too many of them, matter of fact.
Right.
You know?
But it's interesting because he walks in, Pepito, and he has beignets that he offers, right? I mean, you're in the Rougarou's
yeah,
nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
You're
some,
so
yeah.
Nola, man. But I guess just kind of go back again. Is it hard to believe that belt's finally around you?
It's hard to believe, but at the same time, it's not. I put a lot of work in. I always believed in myself. You know, ever since I was young, I wanted this belt. This is like... You know, this is every fighter's dream to
right.
get this belt, to have Ali, you know, on a belt. You know, this is crazy. Julio Cesar Chavez, Ali, Jose Suleiman is crazy, you know. But I always felt it. But, you know, when you get it, it's definitely a different feeling, you know, so.
Yeah, when I started in this business, I was Buddy D's intern for a while. And he loved boxing. He used to always talk about the history that boxing was here in New Orleans. He talked about Muhammad Ali mm-hmm. fighting here.
Yeah.
You had some really big fights in New Orleans, whether it's the Dome or things of nature. But the importance of you being a champ from around here had been mm-hmm. a while, right? 60-something years or something?
50 years. Yeah,
50.
Like, since
yeah.
the... I think the 60s or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, 1960-something, but yeah.
So it'd been a bit.
Yeah.
Since it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So how important was it to actually bring that notoriety again to the city?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important. This is a first step to it, but I'm trying to bring boxing really, really back to New Orleans. You know, that's the main thing. You know, just imagine if, you know, like I said, Ali fought here, Duran, Sugar Ray Leonard, they all fought here. Imagine if a hometown boy fights in the Superdome, it'll be crazy, you know. So that's my goal. That's my goal, to bring big time boxing back. And I have the chance. I definitely have the biggest chance. You know, I have a big promoter, Lou DiBella.
Right.
I have a big network. I'm with Showtime, you know, so I have connections, strong connections. So I have the chance to bring big time boxing back to New Orleans.
That would mean a lot to you. I want to say the last time we had that discussion, you were talking about how trying to bring back just boxing camps or boxing houses and places we can go learn the sport and do that, because we talked about that history. And I remember talking to a buddy back in the day, and he said, name a corner or name a neighborhood in the city you had somewhere you would go train, and you knew somebody that came from there. And I know you said it as something you really, really wanted to do, but having that belt's really going to help that and do that. I've seen on your Instagram and Twitter, you're out there going to schools, wearing the belt and talking about them. How is that going?
Yeah, it's going real good. You know, I talked to the first school I started at was Cabdo. I went to Adna Carr's football team, you know, a two-time state champs. I went over there. Yesterday I went to Carver. After this, I have to go to St. Aug. I'll go to 35, and I went to UNO swim team, and I think I'm going to a soccer club too, you know. So just going all around, man. And I, hopefully in the next probably 10 or 15 years, you'll see another star coming from New Orleans. Most likely it'll be more than one, you know. It'll be a few boxers coming from New Orleans, you know. So that's what I want to do. I want to inspire, you know. It's a lot of dudes out there, you know, fighting in the streets and stuff, and they can take it and they can make money. I'm telling them, like, you know, that's how I started. I started off fighting just in the street, being rough, fighting at school and stuff, and, you know, I turned it to it and I make money, you know. So that's what I want to do them. I want to inspire them to do the same thing, you know, go out there. And if you have it. Now, it's a lot of dudes. I went to Carver yesterday, and, you know, everybody, I said, who can fight? Who really think they got hands? They, you know, it was 100 people raised their hands, girls and all, they all raised their hands. But I'm telling them, you know, it's about discipline, and street fighting and boxing is two totally different things. Right. You never had, my gym in Houston is right next to a halfway house. So all the dudes that getting out of jail, they come, and they like, man, I'm going to come over there. I want to fight the best fighter. Never has one of those dudes came over there and beat somebody. They always come over there and get whooped real, real bad. Right. Real, I mean, by like an amateur fighter, you know. So it's levels to it, you know. So that's why I'm just wanting to, you know, inspire the students, inspire the young kids to what, you know, if you have aggression, if you think you can fight, come bring it, you know, go to a boxing gym, learn it. And, you know, one day you can, you know, possibly make it.
You know, one of the things, speaking with Regis Progray, the champ wearing the belt here in studio, that thing is gorgeous looking, man. Congrats on that.
It feels gorgeous.
I bet it does, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things that I just saw one, I want to say it was early this month, and man, I can't think of the name. It was the heavyweight title fight. Ortiz was battling.
Ortiz and Deontay Wilder.
Yes. My goodness, right? That guy is huge. Looks like an NBA player, right? Yeah. They're both massive. But it's one of those things, man, where I know MMA is popular and there's a lot of popularity with all of that, but there's something about boxing too where it's an art form and where you really see the strategy involved and the technique. And in that fight, what was crazy, you didn't see a lot of what took place until the in-between round break, and they go to slow-mo and you see the speed of it. And I just remember watching that fight, man, and Goose, I was riveted. You know, so when you see a good fight like that, it's something about that. But it's the technique, and you talked about the discipline. It's a lot of work that goes into this. I know, you fight and there's months in between. But in between that, you're not just training with cardio, but you're training speed, strategy, and all those different things.
It's nonstop training. You know, for me, I'm training all the time. After every fight, you definitely need to take a little break, maybe a 2 or 3 week break. Mm-hmm. But then after that, you know, it's right back in the gym for me. You know, personally for me, I stay in the gym. I'm staying always, you know, working on something, at least trying to work on something. Now, training camp is different. Training camp is only 2 months before the fight.
Right.
You know, 6 to 8 weeks before the fight, that's training camp. And so that's really, you know, that's like super intense training, you know. But as far as like regular training, I do that every day and, you know, try to work on different things. We don't have off seasons in boxing. It's year round, you know, so you don't have no type of off season. You gotta, you know, always, you know, just keep working.
Now, Pepito, you know, you're from the Bayou, the Rougarou, great name, right?
Of course, that'll strike some fear into people.
A little fear, exactly. I was hoping you'd say that, because to me, the 18 knockouts out of your 21 wins would be the fear out of it as well. What was interesting was reading up on you. You know, so what, 8 till your first 10 or something were knockouts, so your first 10 fights, you didn't make any money out of it. And then you eventually started getting the recognition, got some fights into it. But since then, man, your fights don't last very long.
No, definitely not lasting long.
Is that what you consider? Would you consider yourself a knockout artist? Is that something you try to do?
I try to hurt my opponent. It sounds, you know, brutal, right. But, you know, I try to go out there and hurt my opponent, you know. So I feel like if they last, you know, however many rounds, I get stronger after every round. So if they keep lasting long and long, it's going to be worse on them. It's going to be worse on their body. It's going to be worse on their health. And, yeah, it sounds kind of brutal, but that's just the type of fight I am. You know, I keep pressure on them the whole time, and I have big knockout power. And I know if I hit somebody, I'm going to hurt them. It doesn't matter who I hit. If I hit them, I'm going to hurt them. And if I keep hitting them, I'm going to hurt them worse and worse and worse. So, yeah, I think I'm pretty much a knockout puncher.
Because that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring that up, is that you look at that, in that if the fights don't last long, like what if one of these fights, we'll talk about the upcoming eventual title fight that you're going to have as well, is that what if it goes longer? How do you know if you have the stamina or not? Is it goes back to your training? Are you training?
Yeah, it's definitely go my training. You know, right. I train hard. I train super hard. And it's crazy because, well, all of my training camps are extremely hard, like all of them. But my last training camp, you know, my coach, he's my strength and conditioning coach. He's kind of crazy. So he's so hyped about all this stuff. He's just getting into boxing. He's so hyped, and he literally kills me every single day. And it was like I was telling him after the fight, man, we did all that and for 5 minutes. We did all that work we did for two rounds. Uh-huh. And it's crazy, you know. So all that stuff, all that real hard work we did, and it was just like, you know, for two rounds. But, yeah, my stamina is definitely, you know, really high, because in the gym, I know what I can do when I'm in the gym. Mm-hmm. When I train in the gym, I know exactly what I can do, you know. So, of course, people say, same thing with Mike Tyson. Tyson was knocking everybody out. People, oh, he can't go. Maybe he don't have stamina. No, you can't say that because he's knocking everybody out. If they can't take his punches, then they can't take his punches.
That is true.
Know? Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. Now, Pepito, back in the day, I'm sorry, it was once. It was a camp that they had like those oversized gloves and the helmets and all that, or the little, I guess, headgear.
Yeah.
Right. And you try it. And I did like 2 or 3 rounds with a friend just to have some fun. I think the thing that stood out to me that one day is your hands actually get tired and they actually hurt from doing that.
Just drop.
So I want you to rank these 3 things, because these are 3 things that stood out to me. Mm-hmm. Speed, strength, conditioning. Because I was sucking wind.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was like 3 minutes, right, for the round. I couldn't. At the end of the first, I'm like, I'm looking at the clock. We're nowhere near the first round ending. And
that's just
dancing around and just throwing. You get winded. So rank them for me, the importance. Am I right? Is it strength? Is it speed and conditioning?
The first thing I think you need is conditioning.
Right.
You know, if you can't last, then, you know, what you going to do? You know, and as far as I think the second thing you need is speed. And then after that, of course, strength. You know, I think, but condition is the number one most important part. You can be fast, you can be strong, but you have to have conditioning. And then you won't last. So you got to have conditioning.
Yeah. Talk us through match day. What is it like waking up in the morning all the way leading up to you walking out into the ring? Mm-hmm. What's going through your mind? What's the mental preparation? And also, what do you do physically to prepare on match day?
Match day is pretty easy. It's usually first off, before even match day, right? Let me start up before that. You have the weigh-ins, right? The weigh-ins is, you know, a day before. So you weigh in, make the weight. Mm-hmm. I fight at 140. I'm like 160 right now. So you make the weight, and then after that, it's just you start drinking more and more. You put on, I blow right back up, back to my normal weight. And then, you know, like I said, fast forward to match day. Most of the time, I'm in my hotel room. I stay away from everything. I leave my phone alone. I'll watch TV. My coach will call me sometimes. We'll go down, eat, walk around. Wherever we at, we'll walk around the city or something like that. Like, we were just in, I fought in Deadwood, South Dakota, so nobody's never been there. So, you know, we walked around a little bit. And it's for this fight, we went to Mount Rushmore.
Cool.
We went to Mount, so that was on match day. We went to Mount Rushmore. We saw that stuff and, you know, then drove around a little bit, got back to the hotel, walked around. I went back to my room, I had something to eat, and I went to sleep. So, really, it's just sleeping and just chilling because I'm just real anxious and excited to fight. And then once they start walking us down to the venue, then it's just smooth sailing. I'm just in my room, just chilling with my coaches. You know, we laugh and joke, and it's a combination of, you know, you serious and, you know, like joking and playing around at the same time. You know, you have to have that. I feel like you have to have that balance. Now, some other fighters, they real serious. You go in the dressing room, and everybody's real serious. And, you know, for us, it's just, you know, it's another day for me. It's another day. Some of my coaches, my coach Bobby, he's, like, real playful. So he'll crack a joke here or two, here and there. And, you know, the people around, you know, we'll play around a little bit and then start to get serious and – you know, it's just a mixture because I have so many different people on my team. So you have so many different personalities. Yeah. So, you know, we laugh around a little bit and, you know, I'm serious. And then it kind of goes by real fast, but it's slow. It goes by fast, but slow because I'm ready. I'm always the main event fighter, you know, so I have to watch all the rest of the fighters fight. You know, I'm the last time I fought. Yeah, I have a lot of time to kill, you know. So I'm ready. I'm actually, it goes by slow but fast because I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I see these fighters warming up, and it's like I'm ready to put my gloves on. I get anxious, and
now
I'm ready.
You're preserving all your energy leading up to that fight.
Mm-hmm.
What's going through your mind as soon as you're in your corner looking across at your opponent and the ref is bringing you guys to the center of the ring, that bell's about to ring? What's clicking in your head? What's going on?
It's confidence. I'm super confident. I feel like I can't be beat no matter what he does to me, no matter how hard he hits me. I feel like it's not going to hurt. I can't be beat. And it's a normal thing for me because, like, I can do it right now. Like, I feel like I'm always prepared for it. Mm-hmm. So if I had to fight, if I really had to get up and fight right now, I can do it because –
try it on him. I mean, he looked at me like when he was saying that, Jace. Like, I got a little nervous.
Nah, I'm definitely not. I can do it right now because my mental, my mindset is like I'm always ready to do it because I do it in the gym so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's normal, you know. It's like I can get out of bed and do it, you know. So it's confident. I'm super confident.
Yeah. Are there psych out games going on? Mentally, psychologically, between you and the opponent?
I don't. Nobody never psyched me out, and I don't think I ever psyched them. I don't know if I ever psyched them. I don't know because with me, I'm too confident. Like, I know, no matter what you do, I haven't had the opponent come up to me and try to talk to me or nothing like that. You know, they try to talk smack and all that stuff. Like, I haven't had that. You know, I think it'll make it worse on them. Like, if you. Because I fight, the way I fight is like I'm coming to break you down, I'm coming to hurt you. So if you get me mad, that might be worse for you, you know. So, and I always, when I fight, I have a chip on my shoulder. I do because, you know, I read little comments sometimes and people say, oh, he's not that good, he's not this. And, you know, this last fight, Julius Ondongo, he was a two-time world champion. And he only had one loss, which is to Terrence Crawford. Now, Terrence Crawford is the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Terrence Crawford stopped him in the third round, but I stopped him in the second, you know, so.
How many times did you knock him down? Kind of like five,
four,
huh?
Four times. I knocked him down with a jab in the first round.
Right.
And then I knocked him out three times in the second round, and they waved it off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. Let's take a quick break. I want to come back because I definitely want to touch on one of the things. Oh boy, here comes Dino with the gloves and the robe. See that?
I'm in the best shape of my life.
Yeah, man. My money's still on the champ.
He looks ready.
I was just shadow boxing for 30 seconds.
You're winded, exactly. See, this is him training for the next hour in which we'll talk a little Pelicans basketball. But, Regis, when we come back, I want to get into the upcoming fight that you're going to have. Mm-hmm. We don't have a date just yet, but obviously it'll be big. And then, obviously, just really getting ready for that and how we can get people and what kind of local boxing places kids can actually go. Do we have clubs? Do we have places to go into? Programs? I want you to get into that a little bit. Cool?
Cool. Yeah.
Hi. The Rougarou's in town. Oh, ow. What are you hitting me for? That's Dino. Don't make me sick the Rougarou on you. It's the Sports Hangover in ESPN New Orleans. That's awesome. The King Firm, as if you've been injured in an accident, ring the King, 504-909-KING. KingInjuryFirm.com is the website. Personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp, or a wayward left hand from Dino, who just walks in with boxing gloves. Watch yourself over here.
I'm in the best shape.
You can be in the best shape if you want. The champ, the Rougarou, Regis Progray, is in studio with us here for another segment as we talk a little bit more about your local. Now training over in Houston, now obviously with Katrina stuff, but McDonough 35, you're going to St. Aug, I think, later today, as well to talk to some kids. New Orleans boxing, again, has a rich, rich, rich history.
Yeah.
What are some of the places that kids can maybe go in there? Because I know it's something that you're talking to the kids as well. I know football, basketball, a lot of the other sports, but maybe sometimes boxing is kind of forgotten as a way not only to get up, but a way to make a living, a way to make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
And it is a sport that, hey, all you got to do is just find a gym.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, as far as the gyms out here, Milne has a NOAA program for boxing and the New Orleans Boxing Club. They have a few more boxing gyms in the city, but that's the two main ones that I know about. Usually, when I'm here, I go to New Orleans Boxing Club and train.
And one of the things that we talked about that you hope to do is hold the title fight here in New Orleans. And you mentioned the Dome. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
That takes place as well. How about clubs or just boxing gyms? Is that something that you can help kind of grow as well just by either training there, or is that something that you want to start?
I think eventually, yeah. I don't think I would want to open my own boxing gym, but I would probably want to put my face on something, you know. I just want, like I said, give inspiration to the kids, you know, and let them know you can do this too. For me, I didn't have the role model in boxing. Like everybody, like in football, we have, you know, Ike Taylor and Leonard Fournette and Tyron Matthew. We have those people. And in basketball, we have a few other people too. But in boxing, New Orleans, you don't have a face. You don't have, you know, until, like I said, long time ago, you know. So right now, like, I feel like I'll be the face of boxing. That's what I want to do with, you know, with the younger kids. I want to, you know, show them, like, you can do this too.
Well, obviously, your first step, Pepito, 50-plus years has been since New Orleans has had a title holder, a local hold that belt, and it's the super lightweight title. You got a fight eventually going to be coming up, right? And you keep saying eventually, maybe, because right now that's yours. So somebody has to challenge you, or is that you challenging?
No, I'm challenging. First off, boxing is definitely
you need a thesaurus.
Confusing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's definitely confusing, right? Mm-hmm. So in boxing, they have in each division, they have four different sanctioning bodies. They have the WBC, the IBF, the WBO, and the WBA. Now, the WBC is kind of the main, one of the main ones, you know. The WBC started a lot of things. When you see people with this green belt on,
right?
That means something, basically.
Okay.
Now all the belts definitely mean something, but you see people with this green belt on, it definitely means something. So I'm the super lightweight interim champion. Mm-hmm. Now, they have the WBC champion. This dude is named Jose Ramirez. He just won it a week after I won. So me and him are supposed to fight. I don't know yet, but that's who I'm supposed to fight next. But it's a lot, like I said, it's a lot of politics. So when our fights got scheduled, I was ranked number 2 in the world. Jose Ramirez was ranked number 3. They had a dude named Amir Mann. He was ranked number 1. So instead of making number 1 and number 2 fight for the official title, they made number 1 and number 3 fight and number 2 and number 4 fight for the interim title.
Hmm.
Now, the dude that was number 4, he didn't fight me.
Right.
He pulled out. He didn't want to fight, so they gave somebody put somebody else in, which is even a better fighter because he was a former 2-time world champion.
Right.
And I knocked him out in 2 rounds, remind you of that. And now I'm supposed to fight Jose Ramirez. And, you know, I don't think he wants to fight me. His promoter, Bob Arum, he already saying that he wants to do something else. He wants to put me on his undercard. It's like, what? I'm not fighting on his undercard. You crazy? I'm not an undercard fighter.
Right.
Like, I'm a main event.
Well, you do have a belt, right?
I have a belt. I'm not fighting on nobody's undercard. I have the belt. You know, if you put me on undercard, pay me, you know, you got to pay me a crazy amount of money for me to even take that.
Is that one of the most agitating things in boxing, is that it is confusing and you have promoters kind of still, instead
it's,
of
it's
like.
It's a lot of politics, man. It's just crazy. Because in boxing, is no, It's no, like, organization. It's a lot of politics. And so, man, you have to deal with. So me and him, it'll be hard to make that fight because we have different promoters, different managers, and different TV networks. I'm with Showtime. He's with ESPN, you know. So it'll be, I'm not exclusive with Showtime. And I don't think he's exclusive with ESPN. But still, that's the networks we've been fighting on, you know. So it'll be hard to make that fight. And on top of that, I don't think he wants to fight me anyway because I've been destroying people. I've been running through people. And I've been fighting hard fights for a long time. Like the last probably 4 years, they've been putting me in hard fights. Like they've been feeding me to the wolves.
Right.
I come out the top. I'm going to bite the head. You put me in with a wolf, I'm going to bite the head off. It don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they've been putting me in there with tough, tough opponents for the last 4 years. And he kind of has like a padded record. Now, I'm not going to say he's an all right fighter. He's okay. Matter of fact, I'll even say he's a good fighter. He earned his belt. But it's levels to it, and I definitely don't think he can come close to me.
Interesting. So I'm looking forward to it. Obviously, in the meantime, so what do you do? Do you wait for that fight to happen? Do you try to take another fight to keep in? How many fights do you want to go in a year to kind of maybe either keep in shape or, as you mentioned, now you have a belt.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step for you?
Well, fight for that one.
Right, fight for that.
Once that belt, that's the official title of the world.
Okay.
That's the official, you're world champion. Right now, I'm the interim world champion. That's official world champion. Now, I have a lot of options right now because they have other belts out there right now. I can go grab those. And I think they're going to start a 140-pound tournament. And if two belts enter in that, I can go ahead and take that route. And I can come out a unified champion. So
gotcha.
It depends. It depends on which route I want to go. It's definitely a lot. I have a lot of options, but I don't want them to try to keep running from me. Nope. Everybody knows right now it's only my name right now that a lot of people are scared of. It's mm-hmm. me and Mikey Garcia. Mikey Garcia is another good fighter at 140, but he might go back down to 135. He has options also. So I have options. He has options. But I think a lot of they don't want to fight me right now, you know, because I'm destroying people. I have 21 fights and I haven't had a close fight yet. I've been running through everybody, you know, and it's not like I'm fighting tomato cans. I've been fighting real strong, tough opponents, right. And I'm running through them, you know. So,
well, 18 knockouts would suggest that out of the 21. Exactly, yeah, exactly. Right. Dino, just letting you know next time you try to square up in front of them. You know, one of the things that I find interesting as well to see where this sort of goes, because I mentioned that heavyweight fight. I just happened to be somewhere and mm-hmm. it was on, and I don't know. I hate to say it's boxing making sort of a comeback, because that's not to maybe sound like it hasn't been or things mm-hmm. like that, but you know the popularity of MMA with the younger audience and stuff, younger kids. Mm-hmm. But you have seen some really good matches, mm-hmm. some interesting boxers in terms of it's kind of a mix, right? I mean, you have to have some sort of style in that ring that people kind of relate to you. Mm-hmm. You have to have some sort of character to you, right, that people can relate to. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you win, right?
Number one is winning. You mm-hmm. definitely always have to win. Right. You know, my daddy tell me that all the time. You can do all the stuff all you want. Win. You have to win. Floyd Mayweather wouldn't be where he is right now if he didn't win. Mm-hmm. You know, he talks all kinds of stuff and say all kinds of crazy stuff. But at the end of the day, he never lost. You know, so you definitely have to win. That's the most important thing is to win.
But do you see the sport kind of growing a little bit more again?
I wouldn't. You know what? I wouldn't say it's dying. A lot of people say boxing dying,
right.
But if you look at the purses, which is the paydays, boxing always killed MMA. It's no, like, if you look at, like, number of, like, the money, it's no comparison. Like, none. No, like, if you look at the highest earner in MMA, he is Conor McGregor
mm-hmm.
in history. The highest earner in boxing is Floyd Mayweather in history. If you look at their numbers, it's nowhere close.
Right.
And matter of fact, Conor McGregor had to fight Floyd Mayweather
right.
to make his biggest payday, right?
Exactly
so
right.
If you look at the top five, if you take the top five biggest paydays in MMA, you look at the top five biggest paydays, the biggest fighters, you look at all, as far as all that's concerned, boxing kills it, like mm-hmm. by far, you know? So, they just don't get paid enough. Now, I'm not going to say about popularity. I think with the younger crowd, they like it. But I think with the older people,
there's a regalness to boxing. I mean, there definitely is, especially when I mentioned, I mean, when you have that belt, you said it means something that color, too. And you have mm-hmm. that. You can't ever take that away from you. You yep. made it up there. And obviously, the road that you had to get there, it's been fantastic, obviously, having mm-hmm. you a little bit in here and chatting about being a local and still doing that and more. And dude, I can't wait. I believe me. I hope that you can get that dome or arena somewhere.
Yeah.
Get
mm-hmm.
get a title match here, man. I will be one of the first ones in that corner for you, dude. That's gonna be awesome for you. It's gotta feel good to eventually wear that belt, though.
Yeah,
man. It's
definitely definitely feels good. But I got a lot more work to go. You know, I want all the belts. You know, next time I come in here, I have another one. After that, I have another one. After that, I have another one. You have like
five Dino can meet you at the truck, and he can carry some of your belts.
I'm gonna give you four names to show you my professional boxing experience.
Your professional boxing experience.
Sister Mary Margaret in the third grade at St. Raphael, Father Joseph Verrett, and Father Pavlak at St. Aug. And Iris Muhammad. I lost to them all.
Well, you at least have some experience.
My mom,
your mom.
Sister Mary Marvin.
Your mom and two priests. There you go. Folks can follow you over on Twitter at rprogray. And it's real easy. You see the Rougarou, you'll see a werewolf mask on your head. You can't miss it.
Can't
it's
miss
real
that,
easy.
Yeah,
go
it.
Ahead and follow that. Dude, absolute pleasure, man. Thank you for giving us a little bit of time.
Yeah,
where you heading right
make
now?
Make sure y'all take y'all beignets.
I love that. He was asked if he was having any, and you said?
No, that's for y'all. Not right now. Not this early. Nah,
where are you heading right now?
St. Aug. Go talk to the students at St. Aug.
All right, man. Thank you so much, man, for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely appreciate it. Quick break. We come back. We'll touch on some of the big storylines going on with the Saints. They signed a player, a couple of NFL notes as well. And then in hour two, Dino Hanson and I will talk about that heartbreak loss the Pels had against Portland last night. Good thing about it, got a little rust, and then they head to Cleveland to take on LeBron and the Cavs. They got waxed yesterday by Miami. Yeesh. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Thanks so much. The pizza? Like that little Rougarou in the house. It's impressive when you see the belt, isn't it?
Yeah, very cool stuff.
I mean, sort of like you might want to pay attention sort of a thing.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
It trumps everything you've done in your intramural.
It's not true.
BS,
I, by the way, I forgot to tell Regis, I'm a two-time intramural champion. So I mean, it was a champion-to-champion conversation.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
sure.
That's all that
same
was.
Level.
Why,
same
is he,
level.
Why is he laughing at that? I don't.
Same level. Everybody's laughing at you.
No, I mean, I just.
Everybody is always laughing at
no,
you.
No, I look.
It, laughing at you.
Yeah, everyone.
I mean,
children laugh at you.
I am a champ. I mean, you ought to come back the next year being a defending
children,
champ.
Old people, animals, they all laugh at you.
It's harder to defend your championship.
You're pathetic.
We're back-to-back basketball champs, too. I don't have no idea how we did that, by the way.
I love that's your one thing you always brag about.
Well, it's
the one thing you have.
You know why? Because when Dino comes in next hour, too, when you know that our tallest player on our intramural basketball team was 6'1", and yet we somehow won the title, that's all you need to know.
Different title.
It's because we could ball.
Different.
I think I had like 6 points in the championship game.
Was Muhammad Ali on your title?
No.
All right.
That is very true. Okay. Muhammad Ali is not on my plaque.
Anyway.
That is very true. That's so cool, man. That's not one of those things, too. It's like it looks, I'm not going to say it looks something like a lot of people can sort of do, but the training and the speed level. We were recently talking about the speed bags. What were we talking about? Something about speed bags and like how fast you can kind of get it to go. It's like, that's incredible when you can get the whole timing down and everything. But that's awesome, man. I have a local
the timing,
product
the conditioning.
Yeah. But no, seriously, in all seriousness, 50 plus years has been since a New Orleanian has held a title. 50 plus years. So it's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's good to have him in here. Some NFL music, Pete, if you can, as we kind of get into some quick tidbits here. Again, coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about the Pels Portland game that took place last night. And our thanks to Seth Thibodeau, who opened up our number one. And our number one, as you know, is always brought to you by the King Firm, Personal Injury, Maritime, Offshore, Mass Tort Workers Comp. 504-909-KING is the way to ring the king. Your New Orleans Saints have signed a player. Are you ready? He back. Ben Watson, ladies and gentlemen, back with the black and gold. Signs a 1-year deal. And this ought to tell you, it was an area of need for the New Orleans Saints. And it's strange for some reason. Lots of Saints fans are wondering out loud why the move, why bring him in. I know he's veteran. He's not young. I get that. First off, I'd say two things. One, notice it's a 1-year deal. Now, I've been saying the tight end crop in the draft is very deep. The Saints will draft the tight end. I'd be shocked. Out of the 8 picks, a tight end's not one of them. Two, how about the fact he outproduced everybody that the Saints had? There were like 4 tight ends on the roster for the Saints. They combined, get this, for 476 yards on 45 pass attempts, 4 touchdowns. You know what Ben Watson did last year? He caught 61 passes, 522 yards, 4 touchdowns. That one guy alone outproduced the other Saints tight ends. So before you start going off at the mouth, just that's all you need. You just needed a comparable tight end. You needed somebody to get, what was the phrase I kept saying? You need somebody to give you something. I mean, something. Yeah, they had 1 or 2 tight ends that block. Everyone's like, well, they already got 4 tight ends. They probably all won't be here. Remember, Kobe Fleener, and again, it's no disrespect, but he probably hasn't been released yet because of the whole concussion protocol thing and the health status and such, right? They wouldn't go after Jimmy Graham if they were, like, comfortable with the 4 tight ends they had. Maybe you're still upset you didn't get Jimmy Graham. I was like, whatever. Anyway, Ben Watson, and again, great locker room guy and a great guy to teach maybe your next future young tight end that you get through the draft. So let it go. Let it be. It's a nice signing. Wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. Remember yesterday we talked about with Bino Lace, we were like, hey, you know, I don't know if, oh, you know, I would make that trade. I know some Saints fans like, do it! Giants clearly kind of had enough of him. He wants a lot of money. He wants to be the highest paid offensive player, not just receiver, offensive player in the NFL. And like I said, when you're doing certain things to the kicking net, he hugged it once, then he fought it once. I think he kissed it once. I mean, it's just, there's some weird things. I gotta wonder about you. You know what I'm saying? He proposed to it. I mean, he's just a strange cat. I'm not saying he peed on it like a dog. I mean, it's just, he has a thing with the kicking net. I don't know what it is. But that's on top of the fact that he wants to be the highest paid offensive player. Yeah, I just know. Well, here's the other thing, and I kept saying yesterday, it's going to cost you because you have to trade for him. He's not a free agent. Well, the Giants have pretty much leaked it out there. Adam Schefter says the Giants want not one, but two first-round draft picks. They want two first-round draft picks, and then you got to pay him because he said he's not playing for you unless you get a new contract. You got to pay him top dollar. So two first-round picks and top dollar. Saints fans, you know the answer to that. Come on. No. Speaking of top dollar, Le'Veon Bell, running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he's threatened to not play this year. Dino, you're going to love this. He's seeking $17 million a year. He wants Antonio Brown money. Steelers have started to let that leak. You know, they really like themselves some Darius Geis. You're seeing a lot of that now. Steelers execs, per sources, really like Darius Geis. You know why they like Darius Geis? He's not $17 million a year. I don't know. Is he worth $17 million a year? CBSSports.com says, you know, here's the thing. It only takes 32 teams out of 32-1 to say that he does. Last season, he was the highest paid running back in the NFL. He was franchise tag, 12.1. His franchise tag this year set to make $14.5 million. Yet he wants more. So, I don't know. And finally, I'm kind of surprised, but not by this, though. Peyton Manning turns down Fox to be their lead analyst for Thursday Night Football. Remember Fox now doing that for Thursday Night Football? And I don't remember when this happened, so excuse me if I missed it, but apparently it already turned down ESPN. The list right now, ESPN's dwindled down for Monday Night Football. Greg Olson, Kurt Warner, Matt Hasselbeck, Lewis Riddick, and Randy Moss. Yeah, none of those excite me. Am I wrong on that? I shouldn't be wrong on that.
As I understood, Greg Olson. Is it,
I guess, Kurt Warner? I don't know. Hour two up next. Dino with a mouthful of beignet. Get it done. ESPN New Orleans next.